So, thanks for having me. The last time I was in front of people, it was everybody was on exercise bikes. But it's nice, it's a great privilege to come today and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell the wonderful news of sins forgiven through the wonderful work on the cross at Calvary. Today we're looking at Colossians chapter 2. I'm starting from verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. We will end the reading there. We pray God will bless the reading of his precious word. And we read in Colossians 2, you see, in Colossians 3, some had come to Colossae who had taught an alluring but dangerous philosophy known as Gnosticism. Gnosticism, according to Schofield, was false teaching that assigned to the Lord Jesus Christ a place subordinate to the true Godhead, which is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It undervalued the uniqueness and completeness of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. See, the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ is unique. As the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and 12. The redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ is complete. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's my prayer tonight that someone, perhaps even listening over the internet, that indeed you will come to know the Lord as your Saviour, if you do not know already. It's my prayer tonight that through hearing the wonderful message of the Gospel, that souls will be saved. and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. In Hebrews 27 and verse 25 it says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him, for them." The Lord Jesus Christ saves completely, forever, all who put their faith in him. Romans 5, verse 8 to 10 says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You see, God loves you and has provided completely for your salvation from the day it happens unto all eternity. Because as we read in the verse in Colossians 2, in verse 10, the passage we're reading, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Gnosticism, which was the error addressed in this passage we read, insisted that between a holy God and this earth, a whole host of beings, angels, etc., formed a bridge of which the Lord Jesus Christ was merely a member. And Gnosticism, it also involved the worship of angels, as we see in verse 18 of Colossians 2. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, in intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Gnosticism also involved a false asceticism. That was rules that did not come from God, but were merely the inventions of men. As we see in verse 20, we read, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in this world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men?" The Apostle Paul had one remedy for this error. That was the knowledge of the fullness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we read verse 9 of Colossians 2, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Schofield states that the word fullness, which is the Greek word pleroma, is the very word Gnosticism used for the entire host of intermediary beings between God and humanity. But the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, risen and ascended, is the only mediator between God and humanity. Amen. You see, in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You see, no man can come to God in any other way. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was fully God and truly man. Any poor sinner, of which I am one, can approach him and by no means be rejected. Many forms of Gnosticism deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, denying that he was fully God, such as some of the various cults we see today. But the argument in verse 9 is clear. There is all sufficiency in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 reads, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You see, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our wisdom. For it says in 1 Corinthians 23 and verse 23 and 24, starting with the text that's above my head here, it says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." In verse 3 of the passage we're reading in Colossians 2, it says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is also our righteousness. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are reckoned righteous by a holy God. Indeed, the verse in the hymn by Charity L. Bancroft puts it well. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God. Indeed, because the sinless Saviour died, our sinful souls can be counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him who has washed away our sins and pardon us when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Because he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our sanctification. In ourselves, we have nothing in the way of personal holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John 17, verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ set himself apart for the work God the Father sent him to do, and that was to come into this world to save sinners through his death, burial and resurrection. Won't you, maybe perhaps listening, be set apart for God if you haven't done so already? Come to know the Lord as your Saviour. Come and ask him into your life to become your Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he's done it all at Calvary. He is also our redemption. Colossians 1 verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, and he, the Lord, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, grace is God's provision for our every need when we need it. And praise God, we can have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In this verse, the Greek word used is eulogia. That means all spiritual blessings. It refers to every spiritual enrichment needed for the spiritual life. And we can have that when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Hebrews 10 verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ need not fear, because as this verse says, they are perfected forever. We can have a perfect standing before God because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. You see, those verses I've mentioned, they speak to the matter of the total sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ for every need, for time and for eternity. Indeed, it says in verse 10 of Colossians 2, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This verse teaches that whenever someone comes to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have in him all that is needed for life and godliness. Paul was writing to the Colossians because they were being intimidated by people who were telling them that the Lord Jesus Christ was not sufficient. People who were saying that Christ was not adequate, that he was not enough. They wanted Christ plus intellectualism. They wanted Christ plus philosophy. Christ plus ceremonies, laws, rules and rituals. Christ plus mystical experiences and encounters with angels. Christ plus self-denial, self-affliction and self-mutilation. But Paul wrote this epistle to tell them it's the Lord Jesus Christ plus nothing. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is all we need. We don't need any add-ons. He is our everything, and he has done it all. The work at Calvary is complete. Indeed, if we turn back a chapter to Colossians 1, We read in verses 14 to 20 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven." You see, note from reading this passage the use of the word "all." For by him were all things created. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. That in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You see, he is the all-sufficient Saviour, and he is able to save all who may come to him in repentance and in faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, because as you see, the first Adam in the Garden of Eden disobeyed God and brought sin and death into the world. But the last Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, obeyed God the Father and brought righteousness and life everlasting to all who may come unto him. John 10, verse 9 to 10 reads, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You see, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the door, and the invitation to enter in is for anyone. To enter in, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It is a personal act, and without it, there is no salvation. Those who do enter in are saved from the penalty, the power, and eventually from the very presence of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ made a once-for-all sacrifice on the cross at Calvary for our sins. It's a perfect work. It's complete. It's finished. By the Hebrews 10 verse 10 reads, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." If we go to Colossians 2 again in verse 11, it reads, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." You see, circumcision in Judaism was a minor surgical operation in which a knife was applied to the flesh of a male child. It signified spiritually death to the flesh and putting aside the evil, corrupt and unregenerate nature of man. The Jewish people had become occupied with the literal ceremony, but they neglected its spiritual meaning. By trying to achieve favour with God through ceremonies and good works, they were effectively saying that there was something in human flesh that could please God. But this, however, is not what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, the circumcision of Christ, as we read in this verse, refers to his death on the cross at Calvary. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, there was death to sin. Romans 6 verse 10 and 11 reads, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, there was death to the law and to self. Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul writes, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. There was death to the world. Galatians 6 verse 14 and 15 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, or nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." You see, a new creature. God wants to see lives transformed. God wants us to see transformed life. All men are in one of two creations. As born into the world, we are by nature sinful, helpless, and condemned. And all efforts outside of what the Bible teaches to save ourselves or to assist God in our salvation by perhaps good works or good character are futile. See, the new creature is headed by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin, death, and hell, and includes all who have been redeemed from sin and given new life in him. It is all of the Lord Jesus Christ from start to finish, and excludes any thought of gaining God's favour through character or works. A life of holiness is produced not by the observance of rituals, but by yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ and permitting him to dwell in you, to come into your life by asking him to become, to be your own and personal saviour through faith. Verse 12 of Colossians 2 reads, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." The teaching here is that those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have not only died with him, but have been buried with him. Burying all that we have, or burying all that we are as children of Adam, which is lost sinners without the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. In baptism, believers acknowledge that nothing in ourselves could ever please God, such as rituals or works of our own. You can be saved to be risen with him, to walk in newness in life, to walk in newness of life from the moment of conversion. There is transformation from death to life. You will be alive to God and hear his voice, understanding the things of God. It is through faith, it is through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. It is the power of God which saves us, not the power of baptismal water. Because God raised his Son from the dead, we have eternal life, because he's won the victory over sin. In verse 13 we read, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Before conversion, the Colossians had been dead in their trespasses or sins, and while in that state, they were spiritually dead towards God. There was no motion in their spirits towards God. It is my prayer tonight that through hearing this gospel message, that if anyone listening, perhaps even over the internet, who has not yet made motion in their spirits towards God, will do so. The time is short, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The time to accept the gospel message is now. The time to be made alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ is now. The work has been done on the cross at Calvary, and we can have sins forgiven. Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4 says, "If thy Lord shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Yes, there is forgiveness with God. You see, sinners cannot stand before the holy God, the holy judge, the righteous God, and argue their own case. For it says in Psalm 1, verse 5 and 6, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." In Ezra 9, verse 15, it says, "O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped. As it is this day, behold, we are before thee in our trespass, for we cannot stand before thee because of this." Yes, you cannot stand before God without your sins covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we've all sinned. It says we're all sinners because in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But praise God, there is forgiveness of our trespasses. Psalm 86 and verse 5 reads, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Yes, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In Nehemiah 9, verse 17, it says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." Ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. See, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings forgiveness to the soul. In Hezekiah's Song of Thanks, in Isaiah 38, verse 17, it says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Sins cast behind thy back. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Because the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins on the cross of Calvary, if we come to him in repentance and faith, our sins and iniquities will he remember no more. Isaiah 44, verse 22, it says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Yes, we can have our sins blotted out because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful work at Calvary. Psalm 103, verse 8 to 12 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." If it was north to south, you could measure it. There's a north and south pole, but because it's immeasurable, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We have so much to praise the Lord for and thank him for, because he casts our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Micah 7, verse 18 and 19 says, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You see, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he holds our sins against us no more. It says in Isaiah 1 verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Hebrews 10 and verse 14 says, "For by one offering he, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And in Hebrews 10 verse 17 it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." This wonderful forgiveness that I've been speaking about, those wonderful verses of forgiveness, of God's character, of a message of sins forgiven, it's not to be taken lightly, because it cost God his Son. There was a tremendous cost. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life on the cross. You see, speaking of this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." You see, that speaks of the suffering of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our sins. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 reads, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." See, the Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross at Calvary. He had to suffer, bleed and die for our sins. He had to pay the price of for all our iniquities. He suffered, he was marred more than any man, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, Psalm 32 and verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." It's my prayer tonight that that salvation is readily available. The Lord Jesus Christ has done the work on the cross of Calvary. Your sins can be blotted out, because if you come to him in faith and repentance. If we read in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 2, it reads, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." See, the Ten Commandments were against us. We did not or could not keep them perfectly. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, endured for man the curse of the law and became the end of the law. In ancient practice, written evidence of a cancelled debt was nailed in a public place as a notice to all that the creditor had no more claim on the debtor. Romans 2 verse 12 to 16 reads, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel." When he shed his precious blood for us sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ cancelled the huge debt that was against us because of our disobedience to God's holy law. In Bible times, financial records were often kept on parchment, and the writing could be washed off. So the debt is paid, our sins are washed away, blotted out, if we knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. A cynic once asked me, we were on a bus at the time, "How could a holy God be just in cancelling a debt?" Well, the answer is because his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the full debt when he died on the cross. God paid sin's debt when he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, and he upheld the holiness of his own law. John 19 and verse 30 reads, "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Yes, the work at Calvary, the redemptive work on the cross of Calvary is finished. It's a finished work. The Lord Jesus Christ did more than cancel the debt. He took the law that condemned us and set it aside so that we are no longer under its dominion. Romans 7 verse 6 reads, "But now are we delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Romans 6 verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but of grace." We read in verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." You see, by his death on the cross and his subsequent resurrection and ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ also conquered evil principalities and powers, making a public spectacle of them openly and triumphing over them. The Ephesians 4 and verse 8 reads, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension were a glorious triumph over all the hosts of hell and of Satan. There is nothing to fear if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has spoiled principalities and powers. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ not only dealt with sin and the law on the cross, but he also dealt with Satan. In John 12, verse 31 to 32, he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." See, the Lord Jesus Christ would have that all men be drawn unto him, that all men be drawn unto him to know him as their own and personal Saviour. You too can share in his victory over the devil, the satanic armies and of principalities and powers that wield such influence in this world are defeated and disgraced. You can be free from sin as the Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory over sin, death, hell and Satan. What must you do to be saved? The Bible teaches that there is only one way to heaven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and verse 9 reads, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." We must admit that we're sinners. We've all sinned, because it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3, verse 10. You must be willing to turn from sin. This is known as repentance, because in Acts 17, verse 30, it says, "God commands all men everywhere to repent." You must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And through prayer, invite him into your life to become your personal Saviour. God is calling you to begin a wonderful new life with him, because in 1 John 5 verse 12 it reads, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You see, we've been speaking this evening on the all-sufficiency of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Indeed, we are complete, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We need nothing else for salvation. We need no other. There is salvation in no other but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's as we saw in verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Yes, it's all the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all his work on Calvary. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. We can have sins forgiven when we come to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Saviour. It's my prayer tonight that someone perhaps listening will make that decision to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to become their Saviour. we do pray that indeed the Lord will bless this message. We'll just finish by singing from the chorus book. We'll sing number 105.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who gave His life an atonement for sin, and opened the
praise unto Thee, Father. Lord, we thank Thee, Father, for the glorious gospel message, Lord, and we thank Thee, Father, for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Indeed, Lord, He is the door, Father, Lord, and we thank Thee, Father, Lord, that we can come to Him, Lord, for salvation, Lord. We thank Thee, Father, that we can come to the Father through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank Thee, Father, for the perfect redemption, Lord, that came about through the purchase of blood, Lord. We know it cost Thee, Father, the death of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee, Father, Lord, He has won the victory over sin, death, hell, and Satan, Lord, and He has risen triumphantly, Lord. Lord, we pray for this message, Lord, and for anybody perhaps listening, Lord, and even on the internet, Lord, that wants to know the Lord as their Saviour, Lord, that they will come to know the Lord as their Saviour, Father. Lord, because great things he has done, Father. Lord, he has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, Lord. All our sins are covered, Lord, on the cross of Calvary through the shedding of his precious blood. Lord, indeed, lead us home in safety, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, and indeed lead us in safety. Do commit, Lord, and ask these things in the wonderful name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.